Praise the Lord. So stand if you will. Our heads before him. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it a great privilege, Lord, to be able to gather this morning. Lord, we come in your precious holy name, Lord, to give praise unto you. Lord, to hear the words you have for us this day. Lord, for it is spirit and it is life, Lord, we appreciate every time we get together. We love you so very much this morning. We ask you to have your way in everything that's said and done. Lord, let it all be done and said according to your perfect will, for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. We sing that little chorus, I'm free, so free. I'm free, so free. I'm in the Spirit in me. I'm rejoicing because I am not. I'm free, so free. I'm in the Spirit in me. I'm rejoicing because I am not. Turn to page 13 or only believe. Singing about his grace. Amen.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our within grace.
6 in the same book. Amen. Glad to praise Him for all He's done.
When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sins, for Him.
has cleansed my heart from sin.
Amen. Thank you.
I will praise him. To follow you, Lord. We follow you, Lord. You lead the way. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. This is our missionary offering today, I guess. Go ahead and let's bless you.
Lord Jesus, Son and Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, as we come to gather around your presence once again, Lord, we just want to thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for your shed blood, Lord, that has washed away our sins, Lord Jesus, and cleansed us and made us whole, Lord Jesus. And we just want to thank you for that grace, Lord, that you have showed upon us. And come down and chosen one of us, Lord Jesus, to be your bride, Father, Lord Jesus. And I pray we just put on that wedding garment now and present ourselves as a bride, Lord Jesus, clean and chaste before you, Lord Jesus. And Father, just live that life before you, Lord Jesus. We just ask for that in our your presence in our lives, Lord Jesus, and in the humbleness, Lord. We just ask, just be with us now. Lead and guide us, Father, just be with the service here, Lord Jesus. And may that word come forth and enlighten us, Father, once again, Amen. Lord Jesus. Bring us back to the remembrance of your word, Father. And we just ask now for these tithes and offerings, Lord Jesus. May it just be blessed, Lord Jesus, and wherever it might reach in the world, or this missionary offering, Lord Jesus. May it just reach those parts of the earth, Lord, as there's many needs, Father. And we just ask it just be used for the fullness of your kingdom now. And we ask this all. Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Mercy rewrote my life. Mercy rewrote. on our heart this morning, without raising our hand. Brother Settles, you might take a request. Anyone have a special on their heart this morning? Sisters? We ask the sisters to come if they will.
We have heard it many times that we must live by every word today. It's been spoken time and time again, the token must be on display. Now is it only words we hear? Oh, where are the desperate hearts that cry out to the Lord sincerely? Don't let me be deceived and think that everything's all right in my life. Don't let me be so foolish. Let desperation strike my heart until I realize that I must live by every word. If I'm short, I'll die, will die. And until I reach that height, let me not be satisfied. When God's precious word is brought and shows me one place that I have come short, right then there must be some changes made. I can't go on as before. It might mean a rocky place, many footsteps that I must retrace. But Lord, whatever the cost may be, my heart cries out sincerely. just don't let me be deceived. Don't let me be so foolish to think that I can cover up and hide. I can't hide. But let desperation strike my heart until I realize that I must live by every word. If I'm short, I'll die. Until I reach that height, let me not be satisfied. Oh, let desperation strike my heart until I realize that I must live by every word. If I'm short, I'll die. And until I reach that height, let me not be satisfied.
Hey, man, let's all stand. Say a little chorus, shine on me. We ask our pastor to come. Shine on me. Shine on me. Let the light from God's lighthouse shine.
Precious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this morning. Again, so thankful in our hearts for what you've done for us, that what you're still doing, and that what you will do. Lord, how our hearts is just pouring out to you today, seeing the quickness of time, how it's fleeing. Lord, the rapture getting closer and closer. A time, Lord, when a people will change in a moment and twinkle of an eye. Those that has not been caught up in the cares of life and the foolishness and carnality, but those as truly that has loved you and surrendered their life completely to you, that are not ashamed, Lord, declare the gospel and declare, Lord, that thou art the one true God. Oh, how we love you, Lord, and appreciate you now. We're asked today again that you would speak to our hearts through the Word of God. Give us revelation, Lord. Without it, we can't please you. So we ask now that your blessings be with us now and help us to deliver, Lord, the things you've laid upon our heart today. Again, Lord, for the purpose that thy will would be fulfilled in our lives. We ask in your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise his name. Isn't it wonderful once again to be here this morning? Amen. And praising him and glorifying him and gather around his precious word. Let us turn our Bibles, if you'd like to turn, to the book of John, the 6th chapter. And we'll begin reading here. We'll just read a couple verses, and then we'll go back and read some more with it. And that way you can sit down. John's Gospel, the 6th chapter, and we'll read, begin the 63rd verse, and read down to the 66th verse. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. May the Lord bless during his word, and you may be seated. So reading this little scripture, I don't think it'd be necessary to probably put the board back up, but I'd like to go back on that little subject we left off here a few weeks ago on the three kinds of believers and talk about that again this morning. I just felt impressed during the night last night to come back to this and kind of get a little better picture of what our Lord Jesus was saying there. We'll go back and read a little more with it. If you want to go back to the 53rd verse, and let's read more of it. Inclusive now, 53rd verse. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Again, you just got to keep in mind now, the people wasn't used to hearing something like that. You know, I mean, to eat his flesh and drink his blood, that would just sound so, of course, they're going to, right off the top, just take it carnal because they wasn't receiving the spiritual side of it. But could you imagine the Word of God saying something like us, like it to us today, that would be so completely strange to us and odd, that why would God say this to us, you know? And yet it's always done for a purpose, you know? It's always done for a reason why God does what he does. And he goes on to say, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. I can just imagine, like I say, after him saying that now. Like, wow, what's, these people have got to be sitting there thinking, you know, Brother Brand mentioned, what do you think some doctor would think or something standing there, you know? What are we, some kind of vampires or something, you know? Drink his blood? Cannibals to eat his flesh. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He puts another one in there. You know, think, wow, he's giving them really something, a lot to think about, you know? It is spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. In other words, it's God's words, you see. And they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Now just think of that. Wouldn't it be in a, it'd be a terrible thing to know he's in that position that you believe not. But that's the thing, most people don't recognize they're in that position of believing not, you see. Because remember, all three of these believers, the make-believer, the unbeliever, and the believer, they all can believe a certain portion, you know. But only one will believe all of it. That's the true believer, you see. He goes on to say, he says, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe that and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now, that was quite a strong sermon, you know, to those people at that time. They just couldn't hardly grasp this, and it was just, and here, you know, here his disciples following him, they was even thinking some things, wow, this is really hard, you know, it's, why are you doing this? Why are you saying these kind of things? It had them a little confused, you know. And I think of so many times today in the Word of God how the Word confuses people and how it causes them to stumble and to not know the ways of God. And even in the hour we're living in, and this great falling away has taken a place, been taking place. Here we find people are getting so frustrated, and then they get discouraged, and then they begin to doubt and to wonder. And that's a dangerous thing when you begin to wonder what is truth, you know. But we should never, if you're a true believer, saints, there should never be a wonder of what God is saying, whether it's truth or not. No. Because it's been given to the believer to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It's been given them to know the things of God and to believe it and to stand on it and do everything it says to do. But see, we've got so much unbelief around us, so much impersonations around us, and some people think that's just the way of normality. You know, it's normal to be that way. It's normal to doubt God's word. It's normal to be confused. It's normal to wonder, you know. No, it's not normal. Not for a believer, you see. God put the believer here on this earth for a special reason. And of course, we'll have the make-believers around, and we'll have the unbelievers around. Okay? Let me read you something Brother Branham said in Three Kinds of Believers, just to renew our minds back to. It's paragraph 44. He said, first as believers, and he's naming these off, and then make believers and unbelievers. Now, that is quite a subject. But as sure as we sit here tonight, that group is always gathered together. Wherever the people gather, we find this group. Okay? And always have found them. And we probably always will have them until the coming of the Lord. And I want us tonight to picture ourselves as I speak these three groups and see what group that we are in. Okay, so we can sit here and see and kind of do some examining of what group we're in. Okay? And we'll talk first, as he did, a little bit first about the believers. We'll go into that first. But let me read this verse too. He says, now I want to speak of these three different types of believers now. Remember, believers. My subject is believers. Okay? His subject is believers. There's all kinds of believers, you know. And I believe that's why we're seeing what we're seeing the day we're living in. Why we're seeing so many personal interpretations, personal ideas, personal theories of the things the prophet said. They cannot just go with what the prophet said and say what the tape says. Say what he says. You know, they just can't get it. They can't grasp it. Because why? They're not believers. They're not true believers. The make-believer is going to try to twist it when he can. The unbeliever is just going to go along and just not believe some of it. You know? And oftentimes the unbeliever won't deny it all. No, he just denies one portion of it. It just comes to a point he just doesn't see and doesn't agree with and can't handle it, you see. So he says here, my subject is believers. One of them is a true believer. And that's they're so rare, saints, in this hour. It's hard to see the manifestation of a real believer because they're so rare. Because there's so many make believers and unbelievers around, it's just they almost try to cover up the true believer. And the unbelievers and the make believers, they get to the point that's all they can see. They can't see the real believer. See? And you see how these things fall in here in just a little bit. And the next is a make-believer, and the next is the unbeliever. Now, the first group we'd like to talk about is the believer, because I think we ought to do that first, be that first, because he is the one that truly believes. So when our prophet is talking about the real believer, they truly believe. It isn't no impersonating and trying to hatch things up and getting things all mixed up all the time, you know. Have you ever heard ministers all the time, you know, they get behind a pulpit and they can't preach without getting something mixed up? I mean, it's just entirely so messed up, they can't stay with the word. They get it mixed up, messed up. And it happens a lot anymore. I just, in going to this subject, I thought, well, I'll just do a little more research, and I won't mention a name. But I'm going to tell you what, this minister was so messed up. I can't imagine a congregation sitting there. I just can't imagine it, you know. And I thought, how can this be? So then, as I said, I went back into this and I was reading some things and studying on it, praying about it. And you can truly see, as the prophet was even bringing this message, it was forecasting exactly what was going to happen. You see. So he says here, he says, there's the genuine believers, he said. Now, first group we'd like to talk about is that believer. Believes like the disciples believed here. We're going to use this scripture reading, for example, which is the scripture we read. Now, the first is believers. He says, genuine believers. Now, listen to his next statement. And faith cometh by hearing of the Word of God. The Word of God, which is Christ, see believers. Because, see, faith, the unbeliever and make-believer can't get. No. Only the true believers receive a true revelation of the Word of God. Otherwise, they're depending on their intellects. They depend on memory. Things that sound good and things that sound like they can put them together that make sense to them. But you know what? One of the greatest tattletale signs of that always happens when there's a make-believer and unbeliever around. They can never live it. It'll never express. They cannot duplicate the Holy Ghost. Now, they might have a few actions, and they might have an anointing come down on them and do certain things. But they cannot live by every word. It just ain't there. And it's not in their heart to do so. Because they don't understand even what a true believer does and what they live by. They have to live by what they can remember in their mind and try to put together into intellects. And as long as they can remember a few things, they try not to do this because they remember the word said or the prophet said, don't do this. Or the prophet said, don't do that. Or the scripture says, don't do this. And as long as they can try to remember, as much as they can remember, still they have not got the desire to do it. So they are trying to make themselves Christians. They're trying to make a pathway to make it into heaven by their intellects. You see? And it'll never work. Because they cannot receive revelation. They even think they do. Imagine that. They even believe they do, that they can receive revelation. They even can believe they know the truth. But guess what? That old tattletale sign comes forth. They can't live the life. Yeah. So let's go on here now. Let's find out what he's saying here. This is in Three Kinds of Believers 2. It's paragraph 100. We'll start a little later. He says, sometimes believers are put to the test. Let's just put a little bit in there first about the believers. The believers are put to the test. He said, not sometimes, but every time. For every son that cometh to God must be chastised or chastened, tried, child trained. Now you watch how many times the unbeliever and make-believer can't take that. They can't handle that. They can't handle being brought under humility. They can't handle that thing of coming under submission to the Word of God. And then they get it all twisted up in their little pea brain and think, oh, the preacher's trying to make me do something. When all he does, the minister preaches the Word of God, and then that make-believer and unbeliever throws it at the preacher and say, oh, it's the preacher trying to make me do something. And he ain't trying to make nobody do nothing. But that's the way the unbeliever and make-believer takes it. They twist it all up, you know. Because again, they cannot live by revelation. They're living by intellects. You see? What they think in their mind, they believe. What they think in their mind, they've received. You see? But it always shows up. Every time. Okay? Remember the trials, the dusty roads, the hot sun of persecution. But the loyalty of your heart beats that material till she is ready to go in the mold. God's children is made up correctly on His Word. Notice what He said, on His Word. For they are living examples and the Word of God living through them, you see. The trial comes to shake you. Now look at the people who can't take trials. The minute they get a trial test, they're murmuring, complaining, they're failing, they just can't go through it. Just can't handle it. Time after time. Yeah, a true believer, they might fumble on a trial and test once in a while. But I'm going to tell you, they get back up and they run like they never had before. But you watch the make-believer and unbeliever, time after time, year after year after year, they get their little tests and trials and they just fall. They murmur. They complain. They're hurt. There's somebody's against them. They're talking about me, this, that, and the other. They wasn't born to live right. See? The trial comes to shake you, to put you in the very bottom, to see where you'll stand. Now, the true believer knows this. The true believer lives by this. Okay? They're tested. Try every son that cometh to God. They're tested. See? Job went through the trials and the test. His children taken, everything else taken. I know people let's just make it plain, they come here and get a whole lot less than this and they're ready to give up. They're ready to quit church. Yeah. They're so discouraged. They're so hurt. And they have never went through anything like Job has. Nothing. Nothing even close. But they're so ready to just give up. The church members come and accuse him of being a secret sinner. Yeah. And tried to say everything against him. But I know people today, if they're accused of something, may not even be right, but they're ready to give up. They're ready to surrender to the old devil and just let him have his life, have their life. You think that's a real believer? Boy, you're fooled if you think it's a real believer. God's people are a lot stronger than that. The unbeliever and make-believer is not. No. He says, they say everything, even though he said everything against him, but yet he wouldn't listen to any of it. But boy, we listen to it today. And then we go to bed at night, we can't sleep, and then we start whining on somebody's shoulder, and then, oh, so-and-so thinks this about me, somebody thinks that about me, and this, they said this about me, and this, the other, and they're just so discouraged. Wow, sure not falling in the category of a believer. Sorry, saints, I've always said it like it is. The rapture is about to take place. And again, I will say, you don't have to come here. By no means. By no means you don't. Don't think for a minute Brother Steve's going to make you try to stay here like someplace you've been before. Because I won't. No. I know what the true believer, the prophet said through his word, said a true believer will be. But yet he wouldn't listen to any of it. He knew he had met God's requirement. A true believer knows whether he met God's requirement or not. You see? He knew there's no need of Satan trying to tempt him. Yeah. He knows there's no need of Satan trying to tempt him. But boy, some get so worried that Satan's tempting them. So worried the next trial coming. So worried about this happening, when this is going to happen, when's this going to take place, and this, that, and the other. He knowed it was the devil. A true believer knows when it's the devil doing things. Yeah. And as long as Satan can make him believe that his sickness was his God doing it, oh, then he had Job whipped. But when Job once struck that revelation that it was not God, he was only going through his trials to make him something, you see. It wasn't God doing it. It was Satan doing it. True believer knows this. Remember, he's talking about a true believer. Okay? I'm telling you today, people are so jellyfish anymore. I mean, they ain't got nothing. What would we have done in the day of the martyrs? We would have run like a bunch of chickens. Today we can't even face trials and tests. That doesn't even harm our body. Just harms our mental faculty. Gets us thinking things we shouldn't think. So-and-so don't love me. So-and-so hurt me. Then we hold grudges. Oh my. Feel sorry for you, unbeliever. Make believer. And the same thing today. He'll try to tell you these trials and things is your God trying to put punishment upon you. It isn't so. No, sir. It's Satan doing that and God permitting it to temper you, to make you see if you're tied to this earth by earthly cares or whether your treasures is in heaven. For wheresoever your treasure is, there you are also. That's right. Your heart is where your treasures are. And Job tried, see, yet he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. At the last days he'll stand up upon the earth, and though after skin worms destroy my body. Did you notice? The skin worms was already in him. Your skin worms is in you. You're a sealed up casket without any air in it. Or anyhow, he says. But the skin worms are already there. They're right in you, and they're ready to be called to duty at the time. Remember, Caesar, he cankered right in the street. The skin worms eat him up right in the street. His own skin worms, they're right there ready. Oh, yeah. So ain't nothing you're going to take to get rid of them, friends. No, they're in there. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Amen. You cannot annihilate it. Though the skin worms eat it up, it still will come back again. Who I shall see for myself, mine eyes shall see and behold, or shall behold. And not another, he said it to Job, said, why? He was a believer. He says, in trials he was a believer. Notice what he said there. In trials he was a believer. In trials. That's when you find out whether you're a real believer or not. It's in trials. Not when things go smooth. But watch how many times we fail when the trials come. Yeah. In trials, he's a believer. In persecution, he was a believer. He was a genuine believer. In persecution, he was a believer. When people were saying things about him that was not right, he was a believer. Yeah. He could still stand there and love the enemy. Yeah. He could love those that persecuted him. They reviled against him, said all manner evil things against him. Could stood the test. He stood it. And friends, we're in an hour where it's time we start standing the test. Not be like 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it's been for us, and still failing our test. The same test. It's time we rise. It's time we're expressing and manifesting more true believers. Not make believers and unbelievers. Because if we continue on, it'll absolutely be doing nothing but expressing that we're an unbeliever or a make-believer. You see? All right? In Future Home, I'll renew your minds to this. This is a true believer, whether you want to accept it or not. Like he did us, his creation to live in, before he could come in it, he had to give us the baptism of fire. Then the Holy Ghost came in and lived. Baptism fire. Then when you get that baptism of fire, then the Holy Ghost can come in. What? As it does, here's the true believer. It burns up everything contrary to the Word of God out of you. That's the true believer. It won't believe nothing else but the Word. Because it is the Word. You see? Now, that's what we was talking the other day, the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the Word. I am so thankful he didn't stop there. Because the make-believer and unbeliever can say they received the Word. Not some system, but have a clear understanding. I'm so thankful he didn't stop there. Because the make-believer and unbeliever can say they have a clear understanding. Yeah. How do you know the Word is clear and understand? Watch it. Vindicate itself. Now, that's something the unbeliever and make-believer cannot do. Well, you say, I see this, do it, and that. Oh, yes, weeds live the same way. There's unbelievers, make-believers, they live the same way. Yeah. But it's got to be the entire Word. Again, that's where the make-believer and the unbeliever falls out. It can't be every word. To be the bride, you have to be a part of him, and he is the Word. And what part of him is it? The Word is promised for this day when he calls his bride. Be a part of that. You see? You get it? Don't lose that now. So now think of this. Here's the unbeliever, or the believer now. He's told us exactly what the believer would do. She'd be able to receive the Word. It vindicate itself. She'd have a clear understanding of it. And it'd be the entire Word of God. Not just parts of it and portions here and portions there, but the entire Word of God. Saints, when I think of these things, it makes me so appreciative. I can't help but to be so thankful when I can see a brother or sister right beside of me that just can't keep it straight. And by God's grace, the Holy Ghost in you keeps it straight. Your brother or sister right beside of you, they'll do things. They just can't seem to grasp it. They've still never gotten a hold of Facebook and putting things on there that's so carnal, so deadly, so evil. Trying to backbite, trying to fight back, trying to show themselves something. They just can't accomplish it. They can't see it. And it makes me so thankful. I don't have that desire in my heart to do that, to be that, to show those carnal things, to be involved in it. To like it. To discuss it. It makes me so thankful. Because I know it's God's grace. and that brother or sister stands right beside of me. They may know the word. They may know scriptures. They may be able to quote Brother Branham. And they're an unbeliever. They're a make believer. They just can't get it. It's not there. It's not able to be comprehended what they're doing in life. It's not comprehended to even love one another. To keep them holding grudges against each other. They can't comprehend it. It's not there. It's invisible to them. It makes me so thankful. God gives me eyes to see it. And you, the true believer, ought to be so thankful if you have eyes to see it. You ought to be so thankful that the cares of this life don't choke you and take you with it and still call yourself a believer. You ought to be so thankful, friends. But there's people in our midst, friends, that can't get it. You cannot get and comprehend the seriousness of your every portion of your life. You can't get it. You're blinded to it. And you think you're a believer. Do you notice how scary that is? To really think you're a believer and have all evidence in your brain, in your intellects, that you're a believer. And yet God's word that you're blinded off and shut off from can't see, showing you're an unbeliever. Can you grasp it? Thousands in this message don't see it. They can't get it. They're blind to it, friends. Quote I just read is blinded. Thousands are blinded to it. They can't see it. No more than they could see at that time when Jesus said, except you eat of my flesh and drink my blood, you have no light in me, no life in you. They can't see it. Memorize it? Absolutely memorize it. Preach it? Absolutely preach it. Teach it? Absolutely teach it. And lost and head for hell as fast as they can go. They can't see it. It wasn't given to them to understand. See? Let's talk about love. Let me just refresh your mind about a little bit about love. Again. The son here don't have a clue what it is. He said, Brother Steve, you're awful hurtful. Our Lord Jesus and the disciples and prophets before said some awful hurtful things too. Should I be exempt of that? No true ministry will be exempt of it. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, which we know is love, and become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long. That's what some just can't. Blind to it. Love suffereth long. Suffereth long. Again, where would we be if our Lord Jesus wouldn't have suffered long with us? Yeah. And is kind. Kind. Yes. But to be kind, there must be things around you that's not kind. To express any of these things, the opposite has to be there. For the suffering long, there must be something that you have to suffer long about. Somebody must be getting on your nerves. That's to say, somebody must be doing things you just don't quite like. And they've done it and done it and done it and done it. Can you suffer along with them? Yeah. And is kind. Shows kindness. When the harshness and problems arise, it shows kindness. When they're not being real good to you, it's still kind to them. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, and seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, and believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. And if you are a real believer and put away those childish things, you wouldn't do some things you're doing. You wouldn't put some things on Facebook that you put on there. No. But you're showing one thing, that you're a child. You're so foolish. You're so carnal. And you think you're so right. You think you're going to heaven. That's a sad thing. That's what's happening in this hour. That's what's being fulfilled, as the prophet said. The most deceitful age it ever has been. You can really believe you're a Christian when you're not. I know we can't grasp that. We can't grasp the importance of that, but how real it is. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, which is love. Now think of that. Can we measure ourselves up to that word right there and see that we're an overcomer? That we see this in our life operating? Or do we still have ill feelings? Discomfort to maybe one brother versus another brother. Another sister toward another sister. We're still having little ill feelings and little discomfort that I don't want to be around you. I just don't like you. I just don't like your attitude. I'm going to tell you, friends, you're going to do one thing, and that's show you're a make-believer. Because you're trying to make people believe you're a believer when all the signs just keep blowing forth that you're an unbeliever. 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 Remember the three groups. There's three types in every group, in every place where people gather. I don't know what you are, but God knows what you are. You see? Matthew 13, let's read this. 10th verse. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Can we really grasp that? There is actually people. Now remember, Jesus spoke these things to many. And then he said, it's not given to them to know, but to you it is given to know. Now, the to them that's given to know, I don't know which ones it is. God knows. It's not my business to know. But God knows. I'm just responsible to tell the truth. Okay? For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. So they start with a little portion of it. But even that which they hath end up being taken away from them. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Your make-believer and unbeliever does not understand. That's why they can never put it together and the life of Christ come forth. It's not given to them. They just can't get it. I don't care if you'd repeat it time after time, day after day, 10 days, 10 times an hour, and 365 days, just keep repeating and just try to brainwash them. It still won't come forth automatically. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But this is what was ringing through my heart during the night last night. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Your ears, for they hear. I couldn't help but to think of that song John Newton wrote. In 1772, one of my favorites, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see. Oh, saints. And think of what John Newton went through in order to be inspired to write that song. Became a slave himself. Hauled slaves in. Yeah. A part of the whole thing of helping getting the slaves set free. Seeing that in his life. And all the other different circumstances he went through in life. And then produced the song, Amazing Grace. Blessed are your eyes. Do you realize how blessed your eyes are when you're not trying to dig at somebody? You're not trying to hurt somebody because they've done something you don't like. Do you realize how blessed you are? Because the unbeliever make believers, they'll dig at people, they'll have hatred, and they'll grudges, and they can't overcome, they just can't even. And anything that comes along, Satan offers them this life through civilization, they'll snatch right onto it and snabble it right up in the way they'll go with it. Yeah. Oh my. Was I speaking a little bit about Facebook? They'll just go with it. And every time they get a little chance, they'll put something on there, and it just can't be right. It just can't be Christian-like. It just ain't in them to do it. Because their desire is of the world, not of Christ. Yeah. I could say some more things, friends, but it would hurt you very bad. And probably some of you get up and leave today. But it's truth. But some of you are so carnal, you think you're such an idol. You think you have such word. But I'll stop there. The time will come, the Holy Ghost will take care of it. But you better know where you stand, friends. God's got to have elected somewhere on this earth. I just trust in God will be a part of that. Oh, and it'll be so strange from all these other rest of these believers in the message. there are so few. So few. There's true believers. But only the true believers are able to see it. The rest of them can't see it. It wasn't given to them to see it. They're not supposed to see it. But the genuine will. But don't forget, friends, this great falling away ain't done yet. No. It ain't done. It ain't over with. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. If you see. If you're able to see what the literal life of Christ really is. Truly. And only the true believer can understand what the true literal life of Jesus Christ is. Only they can truly understand what that token is. The rest of them will say they know what it is. And they'll begin to make believe. They'll begin to impersonate it. Yeah. So, Brother Steve, won't you say some more encouraging things? How can you say things encouraging when we're failing so bad?
Amen.
But, of course, without the Holy Ghost, you ain't gonna see it. You remember what that prophet said? If the Holy Ghost will lift you up in that sphere, look back, you see all this chaos. The only way you can see it, friends, is by the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, you get all involved in it, and everything's all right, and we're all believers of this message. We believe in Brother Branham, and we're going to heaven. Heading to hell as fast as you can go. And some have gotten so caught up in just Brother Branham, they don't see the message he brought. Friends, I'm interested in seeing the prophet, what he did, and plus the message, what he brought. Not just see Brother Branham. I'm actually thankful I didn't get to see it. I'm actually thankful I was not there. It's more blessed are my eyes that see. I understand, and yet I wasn't there. And some of them have stood right beside of him. They missed the message part of it. All they see is the miracles, the great signs, the wonders. That's all they've seen. But the life they didn't see. They didn't see the message. They didn't see the Son of Man. They couldn't see feeding on the body word, the Son of Man. It's normal human beings. They want to follow on a man's shirt tail. Friends, it's a sad thing going on in this land. Don't be a part of it. Get in Christ. Get the Holy Ghost in your life. Then you understand. Then you understand. You'll see what's going on. I've nurtured you like children. I've tried to show you right. And I know some people don't understand some of the things I do here. Let me ask you a question. How many of you here has ever had an animal in your life you really loved? You really cared for? You ever had one? You really loved it, you know? Brother Branham did. He talked about old Prince the horse and Fritz the dog. And met him over there on the other side, you know? Said all that he loved and loved him would be there. Mm-hmm. Didn't he not say that?
Amen.
Would I be? And I've had animals in my life, truly. I care a lot for animals, you know. And would I be as so foolish as to give them something that I know would kill them? Would you do that? The animal you said you love, and maybe you got an animal right now, maybe you got a little dog at home, a cat, whatever it may be. Would you go home today and give it some poison and kill it? Would you? Would you give it something that would kill it? What about human beings? How many has got somebody in your life you really love and you cherish? Maybe it's your wife or whatever, your children, whoever, and maybe just thinking in that way, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, have you all got somebody in your life like that? Absolutely. Would you go home and try to muster up some kind of components, put together some kind of a dangerous things, and slip it in their drink and try to kill them? Huh? And them not know it?
Then why does people expect me to administer something that's going to kill you?
I know you still don't see what I'm talking about.
But why would I do that? Why would I do that?
By God's grace, I won't do it because I love you. Yeah.
And there's a certain place in life God wants us to be before sometimes you get something. Yeah. God help us to understand. I'm trying to be as faithful as I can, saints. And I know some disagree with me. That's fine. I didn't ask nobody to agree with me. I just cherish the thought that you can see and agree with every word of God. Yeah. Every word of God. Yeah. Let me say this. Didn't David dance, strip his clothes and dance before the people? Do I have to do that because David did? No. Moses, a prophet, killed a man. Because he's a prophet, does that mean I kill somebody? Have the right to do it? The prophet in discouragement and the trials are pressing on him, nagging on him, got weak in the flesh and told his wife to lie to those men that came to the door. Does that mean I go and lie to men because the prophet did? David killed a man to get another man's wife. Does that mean I'm okay to do that? No. And quit being so foolish. See. The believer's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. The others that have not been. Do not understand things the unbeliever won't. The make-believer won't understand a lot of things. They never will. They'll never get it. It wasn't given to them to know. I know it may seem like I'm talking in parables or riddles. But maybe someday you'll see. I'll close there. Don't want to make you get too tired of listening to it. But keep in mind, saints, I've got a duty that I must do. In order to stand before God on that day, I know I've done everything exactly the way He wanted it done, not the way people want it done. The way God wants it done. Okay? Don't ever forget that. Now, if you're spiritual, you might understand some things. What I was talking about. But I went as far as the Holy Ghost wanted me to go this morning. Won't you sisters come up to the instruments, please? I want to sing a song, of course, again today. Amazing Grace. How sweet this sound. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Oh, hallelujah. Something about that little psalm, saints, it just burns in my heart. And like I was saying, just studying a little bit about John Newton, you know, and what he went through and caused him to write that song under inspiration, just, you know, those things had to happen in his life to bring this little song. Brother Brown talked about walking down the streets of gold, singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I could be blind as many others are blind. But by his grace, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. To thousands, not been given to me. Let's sing it. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, thank you, Lord. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Fear and grace my fears relieve. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, dear. Thank you, Lord. Oh, sweet Jesus. I first believed through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. Grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when, oh hallelujah, thank you Lord, begun. Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, oh, we thank you so much for your word. I pray, oh God, I ask of thee, open my eyes, Lord. Give me a greater eye to have that I may see greater, oh God, thy ways and thy truth, oh God, that I may walk pleasing to you. Lord Jesus, let me be the first partaker of it. But, oh God, that I'd stand on the truth and the word of God at all times. Forgive us all, Lord, of our sins and iniquities. May everything be placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, may the overcoming power of the Holy Spirit be in each one of our lives to guide us and lead us, Lord, into all truth. But, Lord, you'd have a greater preeminence in our lives. Oh, we thank you so much, Lord, for your mercy, your grace. Thank you so much for eyes to see. Oh, Lord, we didn't deserve it. Nothing we deserved, oh God. But it is all by grace. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Just let this few words go down in our hearts deep. And Father, any man or woman or young person not filled with the Holy Ghost, oh God, may you send down that precious burning draw, oh God, that will draw them, Lord, that they'd receive the things that you have for them and see that the hour is late. One day, Lord, there will be no place for repentance. It will all be shut off. Oh God, help us now. Guide us now. In your precious name we ask. Go with us and keep us safe upon the highways. Bring us back the next appointed time if you should tarry. In the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you, Lord. I'll just keep your heads bowed. I just want to ask a special prayer for our precious brothers and sisters who couldn't be here. Heavenly Father, I'm asking, Lord, that our precious brothers and sisters that cannot be here, Lord, for some reasons, that, Father, that you would help them and bless them today. May you meet the needs in their life. Lord, whether it be spiritual, physical, Lord, whatever it may be, we ask that you'd strengthen them. Oh, God, may there be a continual just burning desire in their hearts, Lord, to also serve you and surrender their life to you. We ask that you would bless each one now, Lord. Bless Brother and Sister Samba, and Lord, Brother Geisinger down there in the hospital. Watch over him. Guide him, oh, God, and just continue to feel him, Lord. And Father, my mother and dad, and Sister Leffler, Lord. All these, Father, that couldn't be here today. Lord, the different families that couldn't be here today. May you watch over them and guide them, Lord. Keep that hedge of fire burning about them. And Lord, may we all be given eyes to see now. That, Lord, you'd have your greater way in our lives. We ask in your precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord Jesus richly bless you. You're dismissed.